Welcome to the Plant Grow Reap podcast.
Welcome, everyone. This is Plant Grow Reap, and I'm joined with Julie and Jasmine. And today Jasmine will be giving you some 10 to 15 tips to set up your day for success.
So, Jasmine, what's your first tip?
Yeah, so my first tip, which is one of the most important ones, is hydration. So what a lot of people don't know is we need to be drinking at least 2 to 3 liters of water a day.
It
does seem like a lot, but I can assure you that it is not as much as what everyone thinks. I know I've got a giant pink Frank Green water bottle that sits on my desk, which is 2 liters, so that's a nice reminder of, yes, keep drinking water throughout the day. Things like coffee, tea do count towards your daily intake, so rest assured your coffee counts. That's a bit of a relief for everyone. But also things like coconut water and electrolytes are really good for replenishing the sugars and salts that are lost through exercise as well.
Can I ask you, I've heard conflicting things about cold water and that it's better to drink room temperature or warm water. What's your take on that?
I think it's personal preference. I personally prefer to drink warm water or room temperature water. I don't like cold water. That's not to say that I won't drink cold water. It's honestly up to you. You know your body better than me. Figuring out sometimes on colder days, I prefer to drink warmer water. Sometimes on warmer days, the colder water does seem more refreshing. So it's just personal preference.
Cool. Thanks. What about nutrition then?
Yeah, so I will start this by saying I am not a nutritionist, so do not take me as gospel. What I mean by nutrition is I am lactose intolerant. Me eating a cheese board for lunch is not going to end well for me. I can assure you I'm going to get tired, I'm going to get bloated, and I'm going to be like, oh, I'm not so productive for the rest of the day. So when I talk about nutrition, just making sure you're making conscious decisions throughout the day in terms of your food. So for me, even though people in the office have heard me say, yeah, I've got mac and cheese today, I can assure you it is vegan and gluten-free, so I can eat it. So you will not find me having a nap underneath my desk at any point during the day. So just being aware of that, making sure you're eating foods that are right for you. And if you know having a burger and fries for lunch is going to make you feel sluggish, maybe save that for the weekend or dinner. So that's what I mean by nutrition. I like to eat a lot of leafy greens, walnuts, berries, really good for brain food and brain power throughout your day.
Awesome. Have you got any tips for people to be more aware of what their body needs and how it impacts them?
Yeah. So just being conscious of how you feel after eating certain foods. So what we know is it can take up to 48 hours for a reaction to happen. So sometimes if you're bloated on Wednesday, it could actually be as a result of something that you've eaten on Monday. So for example, I can't have foods high in fructose. So I know if I eat an apple, I may feel sluggish on Tuesday as opposed to right after I've eaten the apple. That's just because of the fructose content. So just being aware of what you're eating, and if you eat those foods all the time, you can sort of go, oh, maybe it is the apple. Today I'm not going to eat an apple, or I'm not going to eat an apple for a couple of days, and see sort of if that helps. But your body's generally got some really good indicators, bloating, fatigue. You'll notice it throughout the day.
Anything you can do for like posture or anything throughout the day to refresh your body and refresh the stance?
Yeah. So your posture is super important, especially when sitting at a desk. So your head weighs around 5 kilos, which is quite heavy. Mm. So I always tell people where you look matters. So when we're looking at our phones and our neck is sort of chin down like this, it's really not good because you've got 5 kilos weighing yourself down. Mm-hmm. So making sure that you're looking forward, your shoulders are down and back. It may feel a bit weird if you don't do that because you're like, oh, this is weird and uncomfortable because your muscles are like, well, we don't normally sit like this. But making sure your shoulders are away from your ears is a really good thing. So just shoulders down and back, making sure your ankles are a little bit forward from your knees. Your legs are parallel to the floor, and as best as you can, making sure your elbows rest nice and easy on your desk so you're not straining or anything like that. And you've got to remember your PC, hopefully, is directly in front of you. So it's not like your phone where you really have to get that head tilt. So there's some really good tips for a good posture at your desk.
Awesome. What about the importance of getting out in nature and away from the screens?
Yeah. So nature is super important. So a lot of studies have shown that just being in nature can reduce stress. It's really good for muscle tension. And if for some reason you've maybe taken a really hard phone call where you've had robust conversations and you're maybe feeling a little frustrated or a little bit angry afterwards, going outside and being in nature is a really good way to calm down instantly. I mean, being in Melbourne in winter, maybe you're just going to step outside the door, depending on if it's raining or not. But definitely being outside is a really good way, and where possible, going for walks, just being outside. If it was summer, I would say go outside, put your feet in the grass and eat lunch on the grass. That's another really good one. But unfortunately, being winter, it's probably a little bit too cold for that.
Awesome.
Be my ideal time to go out. Anything we can listen to or have another background that helps us out, people out with focusing?
Yeah, so ambient music is really great. It is music that has no persistent rhythm. So it's generally created to enhance mood and create a state of mind. So there's a really great song, Weightless, by a band called Marconi Union, and a study showed that it actually reduces anxiety by 65%. And nobody has to know that you're listening to it. So you can just have it playing in times where you feel a little bit stressed. And so it instantly relaxes you. And another really great one is having set playlists. So I listen to certain bands and everything throughout the day. If I sort of need a bit of a pick me up and maybe those ambient sounds aren't really working for me and I want, you know, I want a chair dance. And so, you know, I have set playlists and albums that help me focus, just having that consistency. And the only time I will sort of come out of that focus is because a song will play and I'm like, I know that's not on the album I just played. So, you know, it does help just to focus and really bring us to center and get through our day.
Great. Now, it sounds like you've got lots of tools and techniques to help maintain your well-being. What happens during really stressful periods, like you've just joined us in a new position? So what have you done to get through that stressful time, I guess, of settling in, and how do we hold on to these good habits that we set up?
Yeah, look, it's a day by day thing. I can tell you that now. I mean, this morning I was eating jelly beans. That's clearly not the best nutrition, even though I said, you know, consciously thinking about nutrition. So that's something that, you know, just being aware of what you're doing, being mindful of that is really important. There are so many other things, and I think we could probably be here all day if I started talking about the spine and how that all works. But I think that's a really great thing to point out. We have our circadian rhythm, and so, which is just our natural sleep-wake cycle. So, you know, it's our moods and things that the physical changes throughout the day that happen. And so most people, we go to bed at a certain time, we wake up at a certain time. But there are two things that happen throughout the day. Around 10 a.m. is generally when our blood sugar drops. So it's always good to maybe take a break at 10 a.m. or around there when you notice it and have maybe not jelly beans, but maybe have something else, or, you know, go outside and go for a walk. And then normally between the hours of 1 and 3, we start to get tired. That's just our natural sleep-wake cycle. So I always like to, at 2 o'clock, if I haven't eaten lunch late, I will always go outside, get that breath of fresh air to really help as I'm throughout the day, get that big burst of energy to get me through till 5 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, we have talked a lot recently coming up with this podcast idea, and then also you've mentioned chakras. Now, I don't know basically anything about chakras. What are they? How can they help us in our, how can they help us to be successful, and what is it all?
Yeah, so chakras is just a Sanskrit word for wheel or disc, and each chakra corresponds with organs and maybe certain things to do with those organs, for example, and so there's seven of them. So, you know, an example is the root chakra that's at the base of our spine. So I love the spine. I think it's really important, and I could talk about it all day. It's just convenient that the chakras are located on the spine. So you have your root chakra, which is the base. So if, and the color associated with it is red. So if you're maybe feeling a little bit, oh my God, I've got so much to do, and sort of a little bit all over the shop, whether it be physically or emotionally, depending on what's happening, sometimes wearing just a red shirt or writing in a red pen is really good just to connect your mind and your body back to that chakra, to ground you into the earth and connect to yourself more. Then you have the sacral chakra, which is sort of where your lower back is. And that's, the color associated with that is orange, and it's creativity. So, you know, maybe if you want to feel a little bit more creative, or you've got a creative day, putting on something orange, that's really good. The next chakra is your sacral chakra, not your sacral chakra, your solar plexus. There's so many S's. So your solar plexus chakra, which is where your diaphragm is, that's probably the best way to put it, just at the base of your rib cage there. And it is associated with confidence and self-esteem. So if you're maybe coming in and you're not feeling super confident one day, a really great thing to do is to wear yellow. Now, yellow is maybe not a color that everybody has in their wardrobe. So something as simple as, you know, listening to the Coldplay song Yellow, The Yellow Submarine by the Beatles, depending on your age. I love all that song, all the music. So that can just be something as simple as that. It doesn't have to be that you're wearing it and it's blaringly obvious. And once again, you don't have to tell people this is what you're doing and that's why you're wearing those colors. It could be even yellow nail polish. And then moving up, you have your heart chakra, which I feel is really self-explanatory, but it's kind of the center of everything. And, you know, that's associated with the color green and abundance. And then we have our throat chakra, which is, once again, pretty self-explanatory, communication. So maybe if you're feeling a bit nervous, wearing the color blue can really help. I know I've done it, and I'm pretty sure, Julie, I've said to you a couple of times in the office, I'm wearing blue today because I know I have to talk a lot, and I want to make sure that I'm not mincing my words and I'm very clear on what I'm saying. And then you, moving up, you have your third eye chakra, which is for insight, and that it's the color associated, but that is indigo. And then you have your crown chakra, which is violet or white. And that's just sort of like all being, all knowing almost. So it's like, that's the best version of yourself. So, and they all run along the spine, which is really great, but that's for another day. I can talk about it for ages. So no, definitely wear whatever color you feel like. I know I wear pink a lot. I know it's not a chakra color, but I wear it because I like it. But I always pick the color pen that I feel like, if it's I need my root chakra, be more in tuned with that, I'll write with a red pen, and same with my heart chakra and whatever it may be.
Awesome. Another great tool to tap into that self-awareness we were talking about, and really paying attention to what our body is telling us it needs or where we want it to go if we know that we've got something coming up. So really awesome information. What about, I know that you teach yoga.
Yes.
And that's an important part of your life. Tell us how that has impacted you and how you sort of incorporate that into your well-being routine.
Yeah, so yoga is a very big part of my life. The way I see yoga, it is just connecting mind and body through breath and movement. That's essentially all yoga is. And there are different types of yoga. So I primarily teach a Hatha style of yoga, which is more of a yang style. But when I'm feeling sort of a little bit like, oh, I need to be more grounded and sort of really give back to myself and be a little bit more nurturing, that's when I tend to go to yin yoga classes, or my preference is towards those postures. Now, yin yoga is getting into the fascial tissue. And I think when I told you, Ellie, the look of shock on your face when I told you in yin yoga, we generally hold the postures for 5 to 10 minutes. 8 minutes is sort of the sweet spot. And the reason why that is because the fascial tissue, which is the white sort of netting almost that encompasses our muscles and holds them in place, that's what we're working into. And so it takes 5 to 8 minutes, 10 minutes, longer holds to really get into that and see a shift. So child's pose is really great. It's great for digestion. It's great to get the blood flow back into your brain and your neck. So if you've been sitting all day and maybe you don't have great posture and you're, you know, your chin's down every time. It's like, oh, posture, let me sit up properly. You know, that's a really good one to reduce anxiety and really open up that spine and lengthen the spine, which is the highway to everything. You know, that's also really good. And also hip openers. Now, I will preface this by saying if you open your hips, we store a lot of unexpressed emotions in our hips. So sometimes you might feel a little bit uncomfortable. Maybe you're feeling a little bit upset after opening your hips. It is perfectly normal. But because we're sitting down all day, our hip flexors shorten. So it's really important to lengthen them at the end of the day. And some really great postures for that are pigeon pose, dragon, and, you know, a butterfly pose is also really, really good.
Great. What about breath work and your different breathing techniques to, I don't know, change up your state of mind or state of being? What can we do just with, like, I don't know, a couple of minutes to change the stance of our being?
Yeah. So we have, our bodies are amazing. So our sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight, flight or freeze response, sometimes that tends to be in a bit of overdrive. And no, we're not being chased by a tiger or anything. We've just got a full inbox and we've got to get through everything and we've got 101 tasks to do. So that can be really overwhelming. And what happens, the first thing that happens when the shift of, oh my God, I'm so busy, is your breath changes. And it's not necessarily noticeable at first, but after a while, it's like, oh, I'm not taking sort of deep, nourishing inhales. So a really good way to calm your nervous system down and to bring balance is to inhale through your nose and exhale through your nose. So you can just start off really simple at your desk, breathing in for four. Now, I will tell you, four counts is 1, 2, 3, 4, not 1, 2, 3, 4. So, you know, it is really taking the time to breathe in for four, hold for four, and then exhale for four. And then as your breath starts to calm down and your body starts to change, and maybe, you know, your shoulders become a little bit looser, you can take in longer breaths. So you can breathe in for six, hold for six, breathe out for six. And once again, it's something that you can do at your desk that nobody has to know about. So if you're like, oh, I just need a minute, just 5 to 10 breaths will really help you to kind of recenter and get back to what it is you're doing, making conscious decisions.
Yeah, amazing. Breath work is really underrated, in my opinion. I've done a few classes and amazing the difference that you feel. It's like having a whole body massage or just by breathing, consciously breathing. And I think a lot of things we've spoken about really help to get you out of your head. If you have a really cerebral role that you work in, a lot of us, I think, spend a lot of our time in our heads anyway, but all this stuff, connecting with nature and breathing and yoga, is helping us to get out of our head. Another one I guess I wanted to get your take on is mindfulness, which is a word that's thrown around quite a lot. What does it actually mean and how can we practice mindfulness and what are the benefits?
Yeah, so I think in terms of mindfulness, it is something that's open to interpretation. For me, mindfulness, it's not just consciously meditating. It's moving mindfully throughout the day, making conscious decisions for me that benefit me. And, you know, I think everything in life is a choice. And sometimes we think we don't have a choice, but that's a choice in itself. So for me, just consciously moving throughout my day and making better decisions for myself. And it may be not having the cheese board at lunch. It may be actually having some really nice leafy greens to help me throughout the day, because I know I'm going to be busy and running around. So just bringing awareness to yourself and making sure that you're putting your best foot forward, because at the end of the day, I want to be at 100%. So then everybody's getting the best version of me. Because when I'm at 80%, I'm like, oh, okay. And then, you know, maybe the next day, because I was only at 80%, I'm now at 70%. And then, you know, until I have no energy left and I'm sort of like, oh yeah, okay, guys. So just really mindfully giving back to myself and making conscious decisions that don't just benefit me, but benefit everyone around me. I think there's a bit of stigma around being selfish, but it's okay to be selfish in order to be selfless. Mm-hmm. So I want you guys to get the best version of me, and I want the best version of you guys. So really giving back to myself and making mindful decisions that are going to help me to give my best, whether it be work, whether it be for my friends, work, you know, work colleagues, anything like that. So
awesome. Now, I know you're dying to tell us about your love of the spine, and I think we have time.
Yes.
So give us a quick 5 minutes around why it's so special to you and what we need to look out for there.
Yeah, I love the spine. The spine is very underrated. I think everyone should do exercises to strengthen their spine. What we are now finding out about the spine, there's so many studies being done, and I can feel I'm getting so excited just because I get to speak about it. So the spine is really important. I mean, you've got your central nervous system, which is your brain and your spinal cords. So all the nerves run all along there. And so if you're kind of not really taking care of your spine, you can some things may happen and things may not be flowing as they should. And that's why, you know, conveniently the chakras, like I mentioned before, are located all along your spine. So maybe if you're having some lower back issues, maybe, you know, think a little bit deeper. It's not just, oh, I've got to stretch out my back. Maybe wear the color orange, see if that helps. Just kind of really connect with yourself. Maybe there's just a kink at the moment. And so to have a really strong spine is super important. That's not to say that you need to do spine strengthening exercises. Having a strong core also supports your spine. I don't think people realize how much they use their core until you sort of build the strength up, and then all of a sudden you don't do that, stop doing those exercises, and it's like, oh my God, everything's so much harder. It's like, yeah, a strong core also supports your spine. Your spine is sort of there to protect you. It's, you know, all the way up, you've got your C spine, your T spine, your lower lumbar spine. And it's really important. You'll see people that have sort of bulging discs and, you know, maybe have back issues or straining and everything like that. That all affects everything. And I look at the spine as a highway. So it's a highway to your brain. And if there's any kinks or anything happening like that, you know, you got to repair them. And so having a strong spine is really important to me. I do spine strengthening whenever I can. It's part of the yoga that I teach and that I practice, which is commonly known as 26 and 2 now. They have a spine strengthening series in between that. And your spine loves backward bends and forward bends. And so there's times where I can look back and I can see the very back of the wall and it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so it can become really fun. And there's also, it's very healing to do backward bends and forward bends. There's a lot of studies being done centering around the vagus nerve and that impact on your sympathetic nervous system, which is your fight, flight, or freeze, and your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest. So, you know, getting more of a balance between that, that's going to help to have your body function so much better. So that's my backward bends and forward bends. I'm a very big fan. So don't be scared. Maybe one day I'll get you guys to come to a yoga class and do some backward bends and forward bends. But yeah, the spine is an amazing thing. And really taking care of it can set you up for so many things, not just your posture, but just in life, having a strong spine is really important.
Thank you. And for our listeners where some of this information might be brand new or they have the best intentions but haven't been able to put it in practice, what would be your, say, top three tips to just get started on any of the things that we've spoken about?
Yeah. So if you're list oriented, make a list, you know, and you don't have to do things all at once. It's small changes over time that equal big results. I know I'm guilty of it. I'm like, I'm an all or nothing kind of person. Like, I must do everything and I have to have it all now. And then, you know, I sort of, after a week or two, I sort of fall back out of the pattern and the routine. And it's like, oh, yeah, because I went too hard too soon. So just think about, sort of take the time to think about what it is that you need in the moment. And maybe it is, oh, I don't feel comfortable doing everything, but maybe I will. If I've got a big meeting, I'll wear the color blue for communication. Or maybe, you know, I'm not feeling so confident, so maybe, you know, the yellow Teletubby, la la, maybe I'm just going to have a photo of that on my desk for the day and just look at that, just to be reminded that, hey, you know what, I can be confident and I can have that self-esteem, you know, boosting your self-esteem. Just pick whichever resonates with you. And as you kind of go through things and be like, oh, okay. And just explore it. Don't be afraid to. And I mean, I know I said hip openers can make you, I don't like doing hip openers and I know I have to do it. And so I will avoid it. So, I mean, we almost always avoid the things that we need. So if you find that maybe you start doing something and then you start avoiding it, being like, oh, okay, maybe it's because I need it. And, you know, bringing that mindfulness back and that consciousness that these are the choices that you're making and you're in control of it. So it's at your own pace and explore what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and just take it and make it your own. But, you know, definitely sitting, writing a list, meditating or focusing on things that anything that's jumped out at you, like go research. There's so much information these days. And just being kind to yourself. Like, it's okay if you start something and then all of a sudden you go, oh, I really didn't like that. Oh, why did I do that? You know, trying to stop that negative talk. So just being kind to yourself and being like, you know what, it's something that's new. If it works, I don't know, but I'm going to give it a go. And sort of being open to whatever the gifts are going to come back from the universe, so to speak.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I think it's a really important point that there's lots of ways to meditate. Sometimes sitting quietly doesn't work for people. So you can meditate while you're walking or listening to heavy metal music or whatever it may be. And I think it's all about building that toolkit and, as you said, being open and trying things and seeing what fits. And it might be different from day to day. And I know certainly since as I've gotten older, I'm more kind to myself in that I don't necessarily have a routine. I just go with what my body wants each day. Sometimes it's to sleep in, others it's to get up early and do yoga. So I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Anything? Any other questions?
No, thank you, Jasmine, for your wealth of information.
It's been a great chat. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have this chat with you. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you so much for listening.